بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين المدبر لجميع المخلوقين. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and protect his nation from which he fears for it. And I ask Allah for me and for the listeners to grant us the sincere intentions. Ameen. In the previous lesson, we spoke about the importance of Islamic knowledge. We said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in the hadith, which means the reward of the one who goes out seeking the knowledge is similar to the reward of the one who fights for the sake of Allah, the Mujahid, and this is until he returns home. And we started by explaining the term Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and we said it means I start with the name of Allah, and Allah is the name of the self whom we worship, the one who is attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create things, to bring things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, who is Ar-Rahman, which means the one who is merciful to the believers and the non-believers in this life, and merciful to only the believers in the hereafter, Ar-Rahim, which means the one who is merciful to only the believers in the hereafter. We explained that Allah is attributed with perfect attributes, and we introduce this book that it contains matters of the essentials of belief, issues from purification and pilgrimage and prayer, and some of the dealings according to the school of Imam al-Shafi'i. We also started by saying that every accountable person is obligated to embrace the religion of Islam, that is, every accountable person who is not a Muslim is obligated to become a Muslim by uttering and believing that no one is God except Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is how a person becomes a Muslim. We also explained that the accountable person is for the male, a person becomes pubescent when he is at the age of 15 lunar years, or he sees his spermal fluid or his mani. For the female, the puberty happens when she discharges, the woman discharges the mani, or she becomes 15 lunar years, or she menstruates. This is the first sign of accountability, when the person is pubescent and sane and heard the call of Islam. That is the accountable. We explained that the accountable person is the one who is sane, not crazy, the one who is pubescent, and the one who heard the basic call of Islam, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or no one is God except Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The one who hears this basic message and was sane and was pubescent, he is obligated to become a Muslim. Otherwise, if he did not hear the call of Islam, or if that person was not pubescent or was insane, then he will not be punished in the hereafter. He will be safe in the hereafter because he is not mukallaf, he is not accountable. Today, inshallah, we will start by continuing explaining the terms of the summary of Abdullah, or the Mukhtasar. The author said, among what one must know, believe in, and utter immediately if one was a blasphemer is the testification of faith, which is, I testify that no one is God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Also in the prayer, the Muslim must say the testification of faith in Arabic by saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now this is the quoting from the book of the Mukhtasar, or the summary. Explanation. Without delay, the blasphemer must utter, he must say with the tongue, the testification of faith to become a Muslim. The Muslim must utter the testification of faith in the last tashahud of every prayer for the validity of that prayer, not to become a Muslim because he is already a Muslim. The statement sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not part of the testification of faith, It means every time when we say the name of Prophet Muhammad, we mention that. But the person who wants to become a Muslim is not obligated to say this statement. He is obligated to say, the one who heard, who is pubescent, sane, and heard the call of Islam, if you know of anyone in that case, the first thing you are obligated to tell him is, I advise you to believe and utter that no one is God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. By saying this testification with the correct belief, he becomes a Muslim. Now, the statement sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just so that you understand whenever I say it, it means saying this, first of all, is rewardable. To say this after mentioning the name of the Prophet, it's rewardable to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What does sallallahu alayhi wasallam mean? It means may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and protect his Muslim nation from what he fears for them. Let us explain the first testification. The meaning of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah is I know, believe, and declare that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. This means that I firmly believe in my heart and declare with my tongue that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And the reason we said nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, some people worship things other than Allah, God. For example, some people worship Buddha, some people worship Prophet Jesus, some people worship idols, some people even worship the devil. All these things are worshipped unrightfully. They don't deserve to be worshipped. Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped, as defined by Imam Taqiyuddin As-Subki, who died the year 756 after the immigration of the Prophet, which is called Hijrah, who was a well-known scholar of fiqh and the fundamentals of the religion, the interpretation of the Quran, the Arabic language, and other sciences. What did he say? He said, worship is غَايَةُ الْخُضُوعِ وَالْخُشُوعِ العِبَادَةُ هِيَ غَايَةُ الْخُضُوعِ وَالْخُشُوعِ. Worship means the ultimate submission and humbleness to someone else. الراغب الأصبهاني, the famous linguist, he said, he established the same definition for worship, for the word ibadah, in his book مفردات القرآن. So definition, defining the word worship, it means the ultimate submission and humbleness to someone else. That, for example, to Allah. When we pray and put our forehead on the ground, this is called the ultimate submission and the ultimate humbleness to God, to Allah. The linguist Al-Raghib Al-Asbahani, which is a famous Muslim scholar and linguist, he established the same definition for worship in his book named Mufradatul Quran. So worship is not simply to call upon someone, or to fear one, or to be hopeful of one. Rather, calling upon, fearing of, or being hopeful of something entails worship. Only one linked to and associated with the ultimate submitting and humbling of oneself to that thing, that is when it becomes worship. So if someone merely says, for example, O Allah, help me, and he ultimately has the ultimate submission and humbleness to Allah, then he is worshipping Allah in this. This is dua. However, if someone says, O Allah, I ask you by Prophet Muhammad, or Ya Rasulallah, or O Messenger of Allah, or if he says, O someone, can you help me? This is not the ultimate submission. This is not called worship. This is not called ibadah. In some cases, this is called tawassul. And tawassul is another topic. The scholars of Islam said it is a permissible act. It was taught by Prophet Muhammad to the companions, as narrated by Imam At-Tabarani in the hadith of the blind man. So the topic that we need to understand here is that worship is or ibadah is the ultimate submission and humbleness to someone else. Calling upon, fearing of, or being hopeful of something entails worship only when linked to an associated of something to an associated with the ultimate submitting and humbling of oneself to that thing. So when that ultimate submission and humbleness comes in, this is when it's called worship. The author said, who is Wahid, Al-Wahid, one of the attributes of Allah. Allah is Wahid, He is one. It means Allah does not have a partner with His in His Godhood. One here does not refer to a number. Numbers can increase or decrease. It can be added or subtracted from, and it can be divided. For example, you say one person does not mean that this person has no partner in humanity. Rather, it is mentioned in the context of a number in this case. However, when we say about Allah, He is one, it means the one who does not have a partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-wahid, it means the one who does not have a partner to his dominion. The one who is one, he has no partner in Godhood. Imam Abu Hanifa, who died the year of 150 after the Hijrah, may Allah raise his rank, Al-Imam Al-A'zam Abu Hanifa Al-Nu'man, he said in his book named Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, وَاللَّهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْعَدَدِ وَلَكِنْ مِنْ طَرِيقِ أَنَّهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. It means, the saying of Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu means, Allah is one, not in the context of numbers, but in the context that He does not have any partner. Al-Ahad, the indivisible. Some scholars, they said Al-Ahad, when attributed to Allah, has the name, the same meaning as Al-Wahid, which means the one who has no partner in His Godhood, Allah. Other scholars, they said Al-Ahad means the one who is not a body. He is not indivisible, because a body is divisible. You can divide it. In any case, Allah Ta'ala is one. He has no partners, and He is not a body. Al-Awwal, the one who is without a beginning, the eternal, Al-Qadim. What does this mean? Al-Awwal and Al-Qadim have the same meaning, which is the one whose existence, Allah, whose existence is without a beginning. His existence is without a beginning means His existence was not preceded by a state of non-existence, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything and He has no beginning. Allah alone is the one who is attributed with this attribute. The existence of all things other than Allah has a beginning. This matter is among the fundamentals of the Muslim's belief. Anyone who believes otherwise is not a Muslim, because Muslims believe that God existed when there was nothing. And now, after God created the place, the water, the throne, the creations, the heavens, the earth, the humans, the jinn, God did not change. God does not change. God exists without a beginning. God exists without an end. God exists without a place. He does not resemble any of His creations, and He does not need any of His creations. Al-Hayy, the alive. Al-Qayyum, the one who does not need anything. We are continuing to explain the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Hayy, He is alive, and His life is without an end. Allah is attributed with an eternal and everlasting life which does not resemble our life. As mentioned in the introduction, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, in the introduction of the first session, Allah does not need anything, but all the creation is in need of Allah. This is what Al-Qayyum means. Al-Hay means he is alive with a life that is not like our life. His life is not a combination of soul or blood. And he is Al-Qayyum, which means the one who does not need anything, but all the creations is in need of him, are in need of him, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Qayyum means Allah does not need any of his creations, but all the creation is in need of Allah. Ad-Da'im, the everlasting. Allah is everlasting. It means the one whose existence does not end. Allah is everlasting because that which ends must have a beginning, must have had a beginning, and therefore must be a creation and not the creator. So Allah does not have a beginning, therefore he does not have an end. Al-Khaliq, the creator. The creator means the one who brings everything from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. This is the meaning of the creator. Nothing among the creations comes into existence except by the creating of Allah. He created them. The slave and his actions exist by the creating of Allah. All of us, including our doings, our thoughts and inclinations, what we think of, are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave does not create anything. We do not create anything. We ourselves and our deeds, our actions are created by Allah. Rather, the slave only acquires the act, acquires the deeds. He does the things. He directs his intention towards a particular deed. But Allah is the one who creates that deed. Even whatever we do is created. Likewise, causes do not create any of their results. For example, the fire, which is a cause, does not create burning, which is the result. The knife, which is a cause, does not create cutting, which is the result. The bread, which is a cause, does not create the feeling of satisfaction from hunger, which is the result. Water, cause, which is a cause, does not create the quenching of thirst, which is the result. The sun, which is the cause, does not create warmth, which is the result. Rather, these are causes followed by results, and their creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made the sun give heat. So God made the cause and the results. So the results come after the cause. Allah Ta'ala created all of that. At the point when the fire comes in contact with a certain combustible material, Allah creates the burning in that material. Had Allah not willed for that particular body to burn as a result of touching the fire, He would not have created the burning, and by consequence it would not have burnt. This is the ultimate belief that God created everything inclusively. The cause, the fire, and the result, the burning of the fire. If Allah does not will for that fire to have a result, it will not burn. This was the case with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm sure most of us heard that Prophet Ibrahim was put into a large raging fire, yet he was not burned, because Allah did not create the attribute of burning, which is the cause, in that fire. Nor did he create the burning of Ibrahim, which is the result. Allah did not will for that to happen. That's why Prophet Ibrahim, when he was thrown into this raging, large fire, he came out of it without any burns. This case is also among the fundamentals of the creed. The one who believes that there is something or someone who shares with Allah the attribute of creating, bringing things from non-existence into existence, is not a Muslim, even if he claims so. So no one creates with this meaning except Allah. We are still continuing to explain the meaning of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or no one is God except Allah. The author said, who is the sustainer? The sustainer is the one who gives the sustenance, rizq, to his slaves. God is the one who gives the rizq, the sustenance, to his slaves. This includes all things, all kinds of sustenance, which give a benefit to the person, whether it was from a lawful or an unlawful source. God is the one who sustains his creations. But God orders us to seek the halal, the lawful sustenance, and to avoid the haram, the unlawful sustenance. But God is the one, Allah is the one who sustains his creations. He provides the sustenance for his creations. And the sustenance here includes all things which benefit that person. The knowledgeable, al-alim. Allah is the one who knows everything. Allah knows himself, his attributes, and his creations. Allah knows the things before they happen. He has the knowledge of all things, and the knowledge of Allah does not change. Our knowledge increases and decreases. The knowledge of Allah does not change. It does not increase or decrease, because his knowledge is perfect. He knows everything. The author said, the powerful. Allah is the one who is attributed with power. Al-Qadir or Al-Qadir comes from the word Al-Qudra. Allah is the one who has the power over all things. He is not powerless over anything. He is able to do anything he wills. The author said, the one who does whatever he wills. Whatever Allah will to be, shall be. And whatever Allah did not will to be, shall not be. The statement here is the English translation for the Arabic supplication which the Prophet taught some of his daughters to say, which is مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. This statement means that everything that Allah willed in eternity to happen must happen in the way which Allah knew, had the knowledge, and at the time which Allah willed for it to occur. That which Allah did not will in eternity to happen will never happen. Now, should an entire nation come together to inflict a harm on you that Allah did not will to happen to you, it will not be able to harm you. Likewise, should a nation, entire world, come together to benefit you with a certain matter that Allah did not will in eternity for you to benefit from, it will not be able to do so. This is also among the fundamentals of the proper belief, the proper aqidah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in several hadiths, some narrated by At-Tabari and Abu Dawood, explicitly mentioned that anyone who holds creed opposing, contrary to this, is not a Muslim. So that means whatever Allah willed to be shall be, and whatever Allah did not will to be shall not be. This is the meaning of ma sha Allahu kan. The author said, no one can evade sinning except with Allah's protection, and no one has the ability to obey except with Allah's help. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This is the Arabic wording for it. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله is a statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us and urged us to say. As Abu Ya'la al-Mawsili related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he explained the statement, he explained the meaning of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah to mean, without Allah's protection, no one can evade sinning, and without Allah's help, no one has the strength to obey. So that means, brothers and sisters, listeners, everything happens by the knowledge and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is attributed with all proper perfection and is clear of all improper perfection, which is imperfection. This is the meaning. We are starting to explain the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The author said, no one is God except Allah, who is one, wahid, who is ahad, indivisible, he is not a body, who is awwal, eternal, qadim, he has no beginning and no end, who is al-hay, the alive, whose life is not with a soul or a combination of a soul or body or blood, al-qayyum, the one who does not need anything, and the one who whose life does not end, and the one who does not need anything, but all the creation is in need of him, of Allah, the everlasting, the one who whose existence does not end, the creator, which is the one who brings everything from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, the sustainer, the raziq, the sustainer means the one who gives the rizq, the sustenance to his slaves, the knowledgeable, the alim, the one who has the knowledge of all things, the powerful, al-qadir, the one who has power over all things, and the one who does whatever he wills. Whatever Allah will to be shall be, and whatever Allah did not will to be shall not be. Without Allah's protection, no one can evade sinning, and without the help of Allah, no one has the strength to obey. Now, the meaning of what the author says, Allah is attributed with all proper perfection, is that Allah is attributed with all the perfect attributes that befit him, and he is clear of all the improper attributes or that do not befit him. He is clear of all imperfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the creed of the prophets, and we ask Allah to gather us on the good deeds and to gather us in heaven, in paradise, with all the prophets. Ameen. And Allah knows best. Insha'Allah, in the next session, we will continue talking about the meaning of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and Allah knows best.